Pittsburgh, I love ya. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered digitally, straight up, shaken, and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Cephalo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubcephalo.com. Off the Wall Theater, enlivening, educating, and entertaining audiences in the Pittsburgh region. View their current season at insideoffthewall.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, hosting local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and more. 811 Liberty Avenue, downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook or find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. Tonight's guest, Virginia Wall Grunert. It is a pleasure to be sitting here with you Off the Wall Theater here in Carnegie. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Well, cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers and bottoms up. I tell you what, on a hot day like this, nothing beats a cold martini. So the space here is absolutely beautiful, I have to say.
Thank you.
Very comfortable, very inviting, and we'll talk more about that. But as you know, we always do a little icebreaker. We take a headline from one of our local media sources here in Pittsburgh to get the ball rolling here. And today's headline, webcam to broadcast from Andy Warhol's grave. The project is in honor of what would have been the pop artist's 85th birthday. Andy Warhol, 85 years old.
Amazing.
How do you feel about this?
I think it's a great idea, actually. When I lived in New York, I lived in New York for many years. I lived about three blocks from New York Hospital, which the reputation it had was that they killed Andy Warhol.
Oh my God.
Because that's where he died, and at a rather young age. So I always felt kind of responsible for that in a strange way, being a New Yorker. So, no, I think it's a great idea.
So as a penance, you will be glued to this webcam.
I will be glued to the webcam.
I don't know how I would feel about that if it were me. Well, I think Andy would love it. I mean, this is totally, and I know that the Warhol Museum is behind this, and it's so appropriate. And he's buried here, you know, locally outside of Pittsburgh. And people are always leaving some homage on the grave. And I think that, you know, what's going to be captured from this is just going to be fantastic. But I think, you know, it sort of made me think about my own mortality a little bit,
yeah,
and the mark that, you know, I will leave. And would I appreciate something like this being done? I don't know. I think it's an artist thing, definitely.
It is, definitely.
So what's the way to go for an artist? Is it a big blaze of glory? Is it, you know, just sort of a slow, quiet, peaceful? How are you going to do it when that day comes? If you had your way, how would it be?
In my sleep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't want to know that.
Okay.
Absolutely not. And when you hear about, you know, like the movies or shows that come out and say, you know, I can tell you exactly what day you're going to die. Do you want to know?
Do you want to know?
No.
Okay.
Do you?
I don't know.
Oh my gosh, I wouldn't know.
This is a toughie. I guess probably not.
No.
I guess probably not.
No.
But then the question becomes, will it be on film afterwards, really? I think I want my funeral to be quite spectacular, if I may say so. Perhaps even scripted beforehand by yours truly.
Well, why not?
My last production.
Yeah.
You know? Do you want a lot of fanfare or just kind of something?
Oh, no.
No?
No, I really don't.
Because, see, you know, I think the expectation of, you know, artists, especially a theatrical artist, might be that they, you know, would want, you know, a whole production and things like that.
Well, there are artists and there are artists.
Which are you? An artist or an artist?
I'm an artist. I tend to think that the artists who make spectacles of themselves in life are the ones who make spectacles of themselves in death as well. And the ones who just do their job, fly under the radar if they can, and I think I'm one of those, definitely. I'm very shy, actually.
Really?
Yeah. My sister used to kick my ass every time. I'm sorry, when we were kids, because I wouldn't even pick up the phone to order a pizza. I was afraid to talk to them.
Wow. And yet, you know, here you are, playwright, director.
No.
No?
I'm not a director.
Actress?
Yet. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Very good. So, you know, and this is what surprised me, too, when I interview actors, and I've come to know this, but I think generally it's kind of a surprise that a lot of stage performers are very shy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think there are those that get on stage because they are extroverts, mm-hmm. but for some reason or another, and every actor is different. That's you know, this is why I think it's nearly impossible to truly teach acting, because everyone's playing with a different instrument. But there are those who that are a little introverted that do it for their own reasons. What brought you to the theater? What brought you to acting in the first place?
Well, my goodness. I think it's the classic story of having been on stage for the first time in first grade and just loving people laughing and clapping, you know, the whole attention thing.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, through high school, you're the star of every show and everybody thinks you're great. And then you get to college, to the theater department, and find out that you don't know anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then you really start to learn. And that's when half the class drops out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, I have to learn how to do this. So it was always a love of mine.
So where did you go to school then?
I went to Syracuse University.
Oh, very good. Yes, I've heard very good things about that program.
Yeah, yes, it's wonderful. It's even better now. I went 100 years ago. When I was there, there wasn't even a musical theater major, and now there is.
Wow.
So, yeah. Yeah. So
what brought you then from there to here, to the greater Pittsburgh region? are you native Pittsburgh?
No,
Pennsylvania?
I'm from New York.
Where are you from?
Okay. I'm from New York City. I was born in New York City. I was raised in the suburbs in Jersey, and then after college I moved to LA for a year, and then I moved back to Manhattan and lived there for 22 years before I came here. And I came here just to marry my husband, actually. Nothing artistic brought me here, because he's got companies out in Moon Township, and I met him in New York. He used to live in New York. And then his business took him to Baltimore, and then he finally opened his own company here in Pittsburgh. And I stayed in New York because my parents were there, and I had my own company in New York, too, for 14 years. And things just sort of happened all in 1999, and circumstances were that I could move. So I moved out here, and
great.
We got married.
So is off-the-wall theater then a husband-and-wife operation?
Oh, absolutely. I was here 6 years, and I've always been writing things, short stories, satires, and things like that. But I had a play was in me, and it needed to come out. And it was the first play I ever wrote. And I just sat down in my home office and wrote it. And it's called Shaken and Stirred, as a matter of fact.
Love it.
It is. And there's a lot of autobiographical stuff in there. And my husband said, we need to stage this somewhere. So instead of trying to find out how one submits a play for, you know, consideration, he went and found a space to build a theater.
That's the way to do it.
In Washington. And because my maiden name is Wall, he thought Off the Wall would be a great name.
That's wonderful.
And the rest is history.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So the off-the-wall theater, as we know it, began in Washington, Pennsylvania.
Yes.
And you were in Washington for how many years?
5 years.
And recently made the move to Carnegie, Pennsylvania.
Right.
When did that move take place?
The move took place last summer.
Okay, this is very fresh.
Very fresh. Actually, I think they started construction in July of last year. And our first play opened in October.
Very good. So what do you find the difference to be from Washington to Carnegie?
Oh, fine. Much more support.
Hmm.
Local support. Carnegie was thrilled to have us move right onto Main Street. They couldn't have been nicer about it.
Carnegie's wonderful about
that. It's a wonderful place.
Yeah, a lot of the early Berg Vivant interviews were with artists and business owners here in Carnegie. And fantastic. There's a lot happening here.
There is a lot happening here. Between graphic art and pottery, mm-hmm. and there's all kinds of things going on in Carnegie. So they were extremely supportive and much closer to the city, which is actually great for us because there were actors and directors that we wanted to work with us but couldn't do it because we were so far away, mm-hmm. especially if they didn't have a car.
Oh, yeah.
And it was kind of inaccessible. So now we're very accessible to everybody. So.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So producing in Carnegie / Pittsburgh, because, mm-hmm. you know, I consider, you know, all the region, versus producing in New York City.
Oh, well, we only took one of our shows so far, Shaken and Stirred, to New York City in 2011. And we were there for a week, and it was great. Mm-hmm. And we had a great reception, and we still have people contacting us from that run. I don't know. We need to spend more time in New York City for me to compare it for you. I mean, New York is New York, and the dressing room leaked, and
you
know, the lights blew, and it's typical stuff. But it was so much fun.
This space, however, gorgeous.
Thank you.
I think you've done an excellent job
here.
I've seen several shows here. It's such a nice place to be. Very, as you said, very accessible from the city. You're here in 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, what was it before it was a theater?
This was a business called Workwell, and they moved just right down the street because they needed more room.
Huh.
So they were, you know, expanding, and they wanted to sell the building. It was perfect for us. It was perfect. So this was just a large room with cubicles in it, and we made a theater out of it.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah, thank you. We designed it ourselves. And we have an upstairs, too, which we didn't touch because we have a rehearsal room and we have a kitchen and we have an actor's lounge and we have a prop room and a costume room upstairs.
It is the full package.
It is the full package.
Shaken and stirred. And that's important to mention, too, because this space can be rented for performances, events, companies, and things. And I believe has really become sort of a home. Several resident companies, would that be the term for it? Or,
well,
or that just you use it frequently?
Hopefully, since we're not even a year old yet. We have rented out this summer. No Name Players is doing their two productions here, even as we speak. And we got the Pittsburgh New Works Festival is here now, mm-hmm. and they have signed a 5-year contract, so they'll be here for the next 5 years. So those are the regulars. And every weekend, it appears, from now until the end of the year, we're booked with cabarets, as like the one you participated mm-hmm. in, and burlesque shows, I mean, whatever, comedians and things like that. So I think we're pretty much booked. It's hard to
booked
get...
Booked is a good place to be.
It's hard to get a space this year, anyway, on a weekend. So, yeah, it's great. Well, we want to support other artists, no matter what, singers, dancers, what have you, and so many of them don't have their own home, mm-hmm. so this can be their home. You know.
And you're always busy. You know?
We're always busy.
That's a great thing to be. And you mentioned No Name Players is doing Oedipus
right
here.
Now, right?
And I have to mention this because for those watching or listening, they cannot see the set right now. It is full of garbage. Now, this is artistically well-placed garbage because it's a set. And I'm going to have to take a picture and maybe edit it in so that folks can see this. But I had to laugh because of all the sets to have up when somebody's coming in here with a camera to do an interview, you know, it's as if it looks like this all the time. It's like, oh, our space is pristine. There's just, you know,
well,
mounds of trash.
This is the kind of set I love. You know, people walk in and go, what on earth?
So, chaos, you know? And here they are. Because this would sort of be, what, Black Box? Not quite theater in the round.
It's not. It's what I call a modified thrust, which doesn't really exist.
But I see why you would say that, you know.
Yeah, and there's not a bad seat in the house. There really isn't.
This is true. This is very true.
So.
And so they are literally feet from the chaos.
Yeah.
It's intense here.
Well, that's what I want. That's what we had in Washington. That's what I've always wanted, is the intimacy, the proximity of the actor to the audience. Because that way you draw your people, your audience in, and they're really with you, hopefully. They're really with you instead of the proscenium that's, you know, 20 feet away. That's more like watching instead of being
right.
So.
Right. It's a different energy. It's a different rapport, a different feel altogether.
Yeah.
Certainly. And the part of the mission of Off the Wall Theater is truly to promote the female artist. Is this correct?
It is. We have recently added that to our mission statement. There is a large disparity between male and female, the appreciation of male and female artists. It's worldwide, it really is. I mean, somebody did a survey a couple of years ago that said a I think it's 13% of all the plays that are being published and produced are by women, and that's a pitifully small number. And it's not just playwrights, you know, other directors, actors, technicians. Not to the exclusion of the guys. We love the guys, and we need our actors. And not every playwright that I've chosen recently is a female, but the majority is, and that's rare. It really is rare in an established company where most of the artists involved are women, even for, you know, just a one chunk of time.
Do you feel that focus on the female as a performing artist in this city in particular is lacking?
Yeah, I do. I actually do. I don't know all the ins and outs of who, you know, who is on staff here, who is on staff here, but there are many male directors, very good directors, but there are also many female directors out there who aren't working. So I try. When I read a play, I think I know if it fits a certain director. And if I think a female director would have fun with it, I give it to a female director. I will do that first, if I can.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's all about the play. So this upcoming season, I do have one male director, so I'm not being
just
exclusive.
To keep it fair.
Yeah, absolutely. But all four playwrights are women. So,
well, certainly, without a doubt, then there is a place for a company in this city and certainly the surrounding areas extending here to Carnegie that would have a mission to promote that.
Mm-hmm.
Set a good example.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
So when, and I know that there have been, I think at least several times, you've produced plays that you have written.
Twice.
So when you, do you have a different approach when writing for a female character is writing for a male character, or is it sort of all coming from the same voice within inside you? Is it a, how do you approach? Do you approach the two differently?
I have yet to write for a male character.
Really?
It just happened to be that way. The first, The Shaken and Stirred, was about how alcoholism and addiction affects women and the people they love. There are no male characters in it, except offstage. And Without Ruth, which we just produced in May, is the story of a woman who grew up in Pittsburgh with her mom, and a side story about another woman and her mother. So there were no male characters in that either. And I didn't consciously do it that way. So my next play will have to have some men in it. So I can't answer that question.
Well, I am more than willing to be a model,
okay.
You know, if you will, if you'd like to, you know, go out and have a couple drinks. I come up with good lines every now and then. I don't know. But no, that's interesting. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
So I'm glad I asked that question.
I'm glad you did too, because I actually just realized that.
Yeah.
There are no men in my place. Well, I've only written two, so.
But I tell you what, if there's a company that's going to produce them, this is the right one then, right?
That's right.
So that, it fits. It all worked out in the end. So what is your typical day like? You know, you husband and wife duo running a theater company. What do you guys do to relax? What do you guys do for fun?
Oh, well, I mean, the summertime for us is basically downtime, at least the first part of the summer. And once we close our last production in May, we're out of here. We went to Europe for 4 weeks this year.
Nice.
Well, he had a business meeting in Germany, and we turned it into a four-week trip.
As you should.
as we should. And but then even the summer is not really downtime, because once we came back, this is when you seek out grant makers.
Oh, yeah.
And applying for grants and planning the new season and hiring new directors and technicians. And I just held auditions a couple of weeks ago for the first two plays of the next season. So we're getting rolling again. And our first play starts rehearsal in September, and that's next month. So
it is already.
It is already.
Thanks for reminding me. There goes my summer. Maybe I need to go onto business in Germany too while we're talking about it. But hey, always busy, always good. And you know, I find with, you know, a lot of people who have made their art their business, it's the, you know, that business is a pleasure. That can be relaxing at times too. So where do you see all this in 10 years?
Oh, well, hopefully doing exactly what it's doing now. Hopefully, we're still involved in it, still, you know, walking around. But what we have recently done, actually, is create a foundation. Hans and I have created a foundation that will keep Off the Wall running beyond us.
Beyond the time where we've got a camera on you and Andy Warhol.
Right, over the, exactly. Right, so
things will still be going here.
Well, we have no kids, so we didn't have to pay any college tuitions. This is our baby, and hopefully we will be able to support it beyond us.
Absolutely.
Plan for it to continue on as long as it can.
So what do you think's the next big creative project for you particularly? Do you have a play that's just dying to get out right now? Is there anything cooking? Is there anything on the stove?
I just realized there's probably not going to be any men in this either.
That's it. We're done here.
No, actually, there will be. There will be. The next thing I would like to do is do a piece about domestic violence. Yeah, it won't be a comedy, but I have some ideas about that. And I'd like to create something about that. But I would really love to write a rip-roaring comedy, but I'm not sure I can do it.
And
I don't know how.
That's interesting because you strike me as a very humorous person. You know, I'm having a blast here with you. But, you know, that sometimes the artist that's, you know, up here just, you know, expresses themselves a little
differently. I think of alcoholism or domestic violence, you know, and I'm thinking, I gotta lift myself out of this. I've written some short plays that are funny, so maybe I can just expand on one of those and make
perhaps,
it a full-length play.
Perhaps. So when you've got the idea, you know, when you've got that inspiration to write, what is your process? Or does it come out kind of polished?
It's not polished. It comes out in spurts, if you will. You know, when I said to you my first play needed to come out of me, and I don't know where it came from, it just came out of me. It took me no time to write, really, comparatively. You know, some playwrights and authors take months and months and months, which is fabulous, and they hone and polish, and it pours out of me. Not to say that it doesn't need honing and polishing after it does, but I write in spurts. I don't follow the rule where good writers say, sit down and write something every day. Every day. And I don't do that. Because if it's not here, it won't come out.
We'd had plenty of comedies if that were the case, right?
And I work at night, you know. Hans will go to sleep, and I'm in the office just writing away.
Wow.
That's when I work the best, in the middle of the night. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Now, as an actress...
Yes.
And again, I have spoken to several actors, and each one of them really approaches the craft very differently. You know, has a completely different, you know, strengths and challenges. So, as an actress, what do you feel your biggest challenges are?
I think at this point in my career is finding the right role, because I am. There are a lot of great plays written for 30, 40-year-old women. Well, I shouldn't say a lot. There aren't a lot, but there are some. And I'm not that. And then there's wonderful roles for women in their 60s, and I'm not that either. So I'm like, do I play that part or that? Am I too old for this or am I too young for that? So that's actually tricky. It really is.
You could write it.
I could write it. You're absolutely right. I could write it.
You're in a position to solve all of these problems, you see, or challenges, I should
say.
That
is true. Or just grow older, which, of course, I will.
But, you know, clearly there's a demographic there that's not being served with well-written roles.
Well, that's true. That is true. So I guess I'll have to do it. Write myself.
This is your calling. Right here, out in the open. I mean, this was a moment we just had. Yeah, I heard it too. That's fantastic. Good sense of you. And I think the comedies will come too.
I hope so.
I think so.
I see
that.
Comedy, what do they say? Dying is hard, but comedy's harder. It's really hard. It's hard to act. It's hard to direct. And I'm assuming it's hard to write, but I don't know yet.
You know, early on, I was, you know, actually surprised. You heard me that you hadn't directed.
No,
yet
I have not directed yet. Everybody wants to tell me.
Forgive me for presuming, but it just kind of felt like it kind of went with the package. You know,
most artistic directors have directed, certainly. in Pittsburgh, certainly, that is true. I happen to know some directors who are so creative and so brilliant that I watch them, because I'm at every rehearsal of every play, I watch them and think, I would never have come up with that. So I don't. I let the people who do it best do it, you know? But I learn. I'm learning just by watching. So maybe one day I will.
Cool.
But I really don't feel confident enough to do it yet.
Well, there's plenty of adventure left. That's a beautiful thing.
Let's hope so.
But in the meantime, you know, I think you've got a lot of fantastic things going on, and I certainly wish you all the best with
it. Thank you.
And thank you for chatting with us here today on Berg Vivant. Hopefully we'll be back again to interview some of your directors and actors and things. And yeah, tip of the hat to you for really creating quite a gem here in Carnegie, right outside of Pittsburgh.
Thanks for supporting
us. Oh, you're very welcome, Virginia. Very welcome.
In closing, we would like to once again thank our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Off the Wall Theater, Cefalo's Banquet and Events Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, Arcade Comedy Theater, Downtown, and Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support to families living with autism through innovative arts programming. Find out more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. And be sure to follow Pittsburgh's Cultural Talk magazine online. You can find Berg Vivant, the It in Pittsburgh, on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribe for free at www.bergvivant.com. This is Brian Edwards saying cheers and good night.